Imagine looking up at the night sky and knowing that, well, the stars you're seeing aren't just satellites or distant suns.
Right, yeah.
Imagine knowing that some of those blinking lights are actually gigawatt-scale, super-intelligent AI brains
Yeah.
launched into orbit just because our own planet literally cannot handle the heat they generate.
I mean, it sounds like the plot of a science fiction novel, but it is rapidly becoming an engineering necessity.
It's crazy. And what's wild is, while tech giants are preparing to spend billions to put those ultra-secure AI brains into space, they are simultaneously stripping the most basic physical security hardware out of the phone sitting in your pocket right now.
Oh, absolutely. The contrast is just jarring.
It really is.
Yeah.
So today is Monday, August 31st, 2026. We just got our hands on this morning's intelligence briefing from Tekken Game Media, and it is a massive document.
It's dense. There is a lot happening today.
Oh, yeah. We're looking at a digital landscape undergoing a violent simultaneous tectonic shift. We are watching human craft, the hyperexpansion of AI, and the physical limits of Earth's infrastructure all just smashing into each other. Okay, let's unpack this.
Where do we even start?
We have to start with this massive line being drawn in the sand by one of the absolute juggernauts of entertainment. Rockstar Games just dropped a manifesto regarding Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, and manifesto is definitely the right word for it. I mean, it is a direct rejection of the current industry meta.
Totally. They officially confirmed that GTA 6 is launching with zero microtransactions and zero generative AI.
Wow.
Right. The entire state of Leonida, every single line of NPC dialogue, every quest, every animation cycle is 100% handcrafted by human writers-level designers and actors.
And, you know, to understand the gravity of that, you really have to look at where the AAA gaming industry is in 2026,
Right.
because the prevalent trend is entirely the opposite.
Yeah, everyone else is going synthetic.
Exactly. Studios are heavily leaning into hybrid large language model generation. You walk up to an NPC, and a local AI just generates dialogue on the fly.
Right.
They use procedural algorithms to build endless, infinite landscapes. The whole business model has shifted towards synthetic generation to create this infinite content stream, which is, of course, tied directly to day one battle
Oh,
passes.
see, and the infinite game. It honestly reminds me of the food industry. If you think about it.
How so?
Well, generative AI in gaming has basically become the heavily processed fast food burger of entertainment. Like, it's cheap to produce at scale, and it technically fills you up as a player, but it all kind of tastes the same.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It just lacks emotional resonance.
Yeah.
So Rockstar is essentially marketing themselves as a Michelin star farm-to-table experience. They're saying human hands touched every single ingredient here, and you are going to feel the difference.
And they are betting everything that players will pay a premium for that unsynthesized human soul. It's a fun analogy, but I'd argue it is significantly riskier than a restaurant opening. A Michelin star meal implies a guaranteed level of quality, right? Rockstar is betting billions of dollars on human limitations. I
Yeah.
mean, human writers get writer's block, voice actors go on strike.
That's true.
Hand animating a million different walk cycles causes massive production delays. An AI model never sleeps, you know? It just outputs content.
Right, it's just a machine.
Exactly. But Rockstar is taking a calculated risk that those human flaws, like the specific quirks of a human sitting in a room thinking up a bizarre joke for a radio commercial in the game, cannot be replicated by random neural prompts. They are making human authorship a luxury commodity.
But if we look at the broader entertainment landscape, Rockstar is in a highly privileged position.
Yeah.
They're a massively wealthy studio, so they have the resources to build this giant walled garden and keep AI
Oh,
out.
absolutely. They can afford to build the wall.
Right. But for the global music industry, the AI already raided the castle while everyone was sleeping.
The gates were kicked wide open. And now the record labels are basically trying to put the genie back in the bottle through the federal court system.
Exactly. So the briefing notes that Sony Music Entertainment and Warner Music Group just filed a multi-billion-dollar federal lawsuit against the AI research lab Anthropic.
Right, the makers of Claude.
Yeah. They are alleging Anthropic scraped over 500,000 copyrighted musical compositions and lyrics to train its Claude models. And this was done entirely without authorization or licensing. So what does this all mean for the creators?
Well, it forces a definitive legal showdown over the boundaries of fair use. The labels are attacking this on two fronts.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is the ingestion phase. They are arguing that the mechanical act of a machine harvesting hundreds of thousands of proprietary lyric databases to train its neural network is, in itself, systematic copyright infringement.
Let me push back on that for a second, though.
Sure.
If I'm a human musician, I could listen to 1,000 Beatles songs, internalize that style, and go write a pop song. How is a machine reading lyrics any different from a human finding inspiration?
See, that is the exact defense the AI companies use, but the second pillar of this lawsuit tears into that argument.
Okay.
The labels are highlighting direct market cannibalization. When you listen to the Beatles, you are a human interpreting art through your own lived experience, right? You're producing something ultimately new.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Claude is producing commercial derivative musical text at an industrial scale that directly competes with the human lyricists it trained on. If an AI can perfectly replicate the stylistic cadence of a legendary songwriter in 5 seconds, it isn't finding inspiration. It is commodifying and replacing the human.
Right.
So this lawsuit isn't just about back pay. It is about defining the economic boundaries of the entire global entertainment industry.
That is massive. So the music labels are fighting to the death over who owns the output of these AI models.
Yeah.
But if you step back, there is a much more vicious war happening a layer deeper over the tools generating that output. Oh.
Yeah, we are witnessing the partitioning of the enterprise software ecosystem. It's basically a Silicon Valley Cold War, specifically between Sam Altman and Elon Musk.
And the collateral damage is the developer community.
Exactly.
The briefing details that OpenAI has set a hard November 12 cutoff date to terminate all proprietary API access for Cursor. And for the non-coders listening, Cursor is arguably the most dominant AI-assisted code editor on the market right now.
It is ubiquitous. Cursor's entire platform intelligence heavily relies on querying OpenAI's GPT-4o and GPT-5 endpoints.
Right.
But because Cursor was just acquired by Elon Musk's SpaceX AI consortium, OpenAI didn't hesitate. They are pulling the plug completely.
It's such an aggressive flex. It's like a utility company getting into a dispute with a rival factory down the street, and the utility company just flips a switch and cuts off the factory's electricity.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
It hurts for a second. The factory goes dark.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you just force that rival to go into their backyard and build their own nuclear power plant so they never have to rely on your grid ever again.
And what's fascinating here is the speed at which that nuclear power plant is coming online. SpaceX AI announced they're aggressively migrating Cursor's core intelligence engine over to their native Grok code models.
Wow, that was fast.
And crucially, they aren't leasing space on Amazon or Microsoft clouds to run this. They are deploying these models across their own proprietary Colossus supercomputing clusters.
The takeaway here is huge. In the AI age, a software monopoly is a total illusion.
Completely.
The moment OpenAI tried to enforce a walled garden, SpaceX AI leadership basically said, fine, keep your models. We have our own servers, our own models, and now our own developable tools. We are moving from a software war to a pure infrastructure war. Sovereign compute is the new gold standard.
Sovereign compute, yes, but infrastructure requires power. And this is where the bottleneck of reality hits. To run massive gigawatt-scale supercomputing clusters like Colossus, you are fighting against the thermodynamic limits of Earth.
Oh, yeah.
We are physically breaking terrestrial electrical grids trying to power the AI revolution.
Which brings us back to those stars in the night sky. Earth is out of power, so the tech titans are looking up. NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman just endorsed a moonshot proposal championed by Musk and Google's Sundar Pichai.
It's wild stuff.
It really is. The plan is to launch gigawatt-scale AI supercomputing data centers into low Earth orbit.
It is an incredibly radical solution, but, you know, when you look at the physics, it solves the two greatest terrestrial bottlenecks, energy generation and thermal exhaust.
I was reading through the specs in the briefing, and it's mind-bending. They want to put these autonomous server modules into sun-synchronous orbits. Why that specific orbit?
Well, it's because of the thermodynamics. In a standard orbit, a satellite experiences day and night cycles. It passes into the Earth's shadow, and its solar power cuts out.
Right.
A sun-synchronous orbit essentially rides the terminator line, the edge between day and night on Earth. So the satellite never sees a sunset. It is bathed in 100% pure, highly concentrated solar radiation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with zero atmospheric interference from clouds or weather.
That's incredible.
It is basically infinite energy.
Okay, so the power is solved. But down here on Earth, data centers use millions of gallons of fresh water just to keep the servers from melting. How do you cool a gigawatt data center in space?
You utilize the environment. The blueprint relies on massive radiative cooling panels.
Okay.
Instead of using water to absorb the heat, these panels dissipate the thermal exhaust directly into the infinite freezing vacuum of space. It is a completely zero carbon compute paradigm.
But wait, if these supercomputers are orbiting the Earth, how do we actually use them? Like, if I query an AI, I can't wait for a radio signal to bounce around the atmosphere. The latency would be terrible.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, they aren't using traditional radio frequency. The proposal outlines high-throughput optical lasers to beam computed neural weights directly down to terrestrial ground stations.
Lasers?
Yeah, lasers. The data centers in space do the heavy, energy-intensive training of the AI. Once the model is smart, those neural weights are lasered back to Earth in milliseconds for real-time use. We are outsourcing the cognitive heavy lifting of our species to the vacuum of space.
It is awe-inspiring engineering, but it makes the next story in the briefing feel like a dark, almost twisted joke.
It really does.
Because while these companies are mobilizing NASA and designing orbital lasers to protect their billion-dollar AI investments, they are aggressively cutting corners on the physical security of the devices we carry with us every day.
The juxtaposition is just jarring. We are talking about Google's upcoming Pixel 11 and the fallout with Graphene OS.
Right. Graphene OS is this highly respected, privacy-hardened mobile operating system. If you are a journalist working in a hostile region or a corporate security officer, you run Graphene OS.
Yep.
But they just announced they are officially dropping support for the new Pixel 11. The reason? Google quietly eliminated a piece of hardware from the phone's new silicon chip called the PKVM extension. And they did it just to save a couple of pennies on per-unit manufacturing costs.
And to grasp why the security community is in an uproar, we need to look at what hardware virtualization actually does for a phone. The Pixel line used to be the gold standard because of this PKVM hardware. It provided hypervisor-level micro-segmentation.
Let's translate that.
Yeah, please.
Think of PKVM hardware, like the watertight compartments on a military submarine. If a hacker somehow breaches your podcast app, that specific compartment floods.
Right.
But because there is a physical hardware-level titanium door between that app and the compartment holding your banking details, the submarine doesn't sink. By removing the PKVM, Google is basically ripping out the titanium doors and replacing them with a do not enter sign written in software.
That is an incredibly accurate way to frame it. Software partitions can be bypassed. Physical hardware boundaries cannot. By dropping this hardware-assisted isolation, Google expands the kernel attack surface. They are leaving the physical memory boundaries of the phone exposed to things like direct memory access or DMA attacks.
That sounds bad.
It is. If a highly sophisticated zero-click exploit targets that phone, there is no longer a physical bulkhead to stop it from taking over the entire operating system.
Here's where it gets really interesting and frankly alarming for the average listener. We are moving into an era where our phones are designed to handle local AI workflows. Your phone is processing your private voice notes, reading your emails to summarize them, and analyzing your photos locally.
Exactly.
And the physical hardware securing that intensely personal data is being downgraded for profit margins on the assembly line.
And we have to remember, while hardware compromises lay the groundwork for future systemic failures, devastating software vulnerabilities are unfolding right this second. Hardware takes time to exploit. Software flaws are immediate.
Which brings us to the most urgent threat in today's briefing. This isn't theoretical.
Mm-hmm.
Cybersecurity researchers at WordFence and PatchStack just issued high-priority advisories for 5 critical zero-day vulnerabilities impacting massive WordPress plugins.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
The primary flaw they are tracking, CVE-2026-76581, carries a maximum CVSS score of 9.8 out of 10.
A 9.8 is a nightmare scenario for IT administrators. The mechanism of this vulnerability is an unauthenticated REST API endpoint exposure.
Okay, let's break that down. Imagine a bouncer at an exclusive club checking IDs. A secure system demands a cryptographically verified ID.
Right.
But this flaw in the REST API means you can just walk up, hand the bouncer a piece of paper that says, I am the owner of the club.
Yeah.
And the system is broken in such a way that the bouncer just nods and lets you into the VIP room.
Exactly. Through parameter tampering, the attacker bypasses the cryptographic session token validation entirely. Because the software fails to verify the digital watermark of the user's identity, the attacker doesn't need a username or a password.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, they just manipulate the URL parameters, bypass the login screen, and achieve remote code execution. They gain full administrative takeover of the server.
And these are not obscure tools, you know. This zero-day affects the WPMU DEV dashboard, Translate Press, Pods, GiveWP. We are talking about plugins used by millions of active websites, e-commerce stores, charity donation portals, corporate landing pages.
It's everywhere.
If you are listening to this right now and you manage any WordPress infrastructure, threat intelligence analysts are warning that automated botnets are already actively probing the internet for these exposed instances. You need to patch your systems immediately.
It perfectly highlights the fragility of our digital reality. We build these massive interconnected supply chains, and a single validation error in a software update can instantly expose millions of servers to hijacking.
It really has been a breathtaking velocity of news for one Monday morning. Let's look at the totality of what we just covered. We
Right.
have human artists at Rockstar Games fighting to retain their sovereignty by explicitly rejecting AI. We have the global music industry battling in federal court to stop their life's work from being digested by algorithms. We saw tech titans tearing the software ecosystem apart, forcing the creation of completely independent sovereign infrastructure.
A literal Silicon Valley Cold War.
Yeah. We discuss the awe-inspiring reality of launching gigawatt AI brains into the freezing vacuum of space just to solve our terrestrial power crisis. And yet, simultaneously, down here on Earth, tech giants are ripping the physical security out of our consumer devices to save pennies, while 9.8 CVSS zero days actively burn through millions of websites.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. Whether you are a gamer, a coder, or just someone reading the news on a smartphone, these shifts are fundamentally altering the ground beneath your feet.
This raises an important question, and I think it's something every single one of us needs to deeply consider as we watch these specific trends accelerate.
What's that?
If humanity is aggressively moving its most critical infrastructure, these gigawatt-scale AI superclusters, into the ultra-secure, endless solar power of low Earth orbit, while simultaneously stripping the fundamental physical security from the very phones in our pockets,
Yeah.
are we rapidly engineering a future where the artificial intelligence floating in orbit is vastly safer from attack than the human beings living down on Earth?